Remember a while back, the Los Angeles Police Department revealed portraits done by convicted serial killer Samuel Little of up to 90 additional women he claimed he'd killed. They wanted to try to crowdsource the identification of those women to see if they could solve any cold cases. You may have scanned the pictures hoping you could help, but it made us wonder about collectors who might also be looking at them, hoping they could someday collect them. That's right, it's a field. It's called murderabilia, the collecting of items from killers, letters they wrote from jail, or paintings by killers like John Wayne Gacy, who sexually assaulted and murdered at least 33 teens and young men between 1972 and 78 in Cook County, Illinois, and was known for dressing as a clown called Pogo at charity events. Well, he began painting clowns while in prison. In a few minutes, we're going to meet a former probation officer who first coined the phrase murderabilia and was successful in getting it banned from eBay. But ironically, that drove sellers and collectors to different websites. I know you may be thinking what we were. Isn't it illegal for inmates to profit from their fame? We'll take that up in a minute. But first, William Harder, who runs the website murderauction.com. He's a collector who also sells items from serial killers. William, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Miss Young.
Why do you do this?
I guess to make it as short of an answer as possible, I just have an interest in true crime that kind of went this way. It started with me corresponding with inmates, you know, offering a friendship, a correspondence, and it kind of went to be beginning to visit. Then I started receiving, gifts of artwork, and before long, I decided I wanted to start collecting this, and it's just kind of snowballed, if you will, from there.
Do I understand that you visited Charles Manson in prison, and he made string art?
Yes.
Yeah. You know that people think that's not only ghoulish, but it is giving these horrendous killers sort of a humanity that they don't deserve.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, you're saying if a person's convicted of a crime, they don't deserve humanity. So, I mean, are you saying that you're in favor of solitary confinement with, stripping, every basic civil right, like stuff they do in like North Korea?
But this is different. This is selling the artwork. In some cases, the artwork is glorifying the killing that they did. There's, for instance, the face of a woman as she's being murdered that was painted by her murderer. That's what people object to, especially since we know that some of the people who buy this, who are attracted to serial killers, are also attracted to what they do.
First, selling artwork isn't glorifying anybody's in particular crimes. That's like saying if you was the U.S. government glorifying the Unabomber crimes when they auctioned off all of his possessions? Are we glorifying the Holocaust when people are spending, tens of thousands of dollars on paintings by Adolf Hitler?
Some would say yes.
I get that. As I'm fond of saying, victims' rights end where my rights begin. If you don't like it, I hate to sound cold or callous, but don't buy it.
Who profits from this? I'm looking at the Pogo the Clown from John Wayne Gacy oil painting. You've listed it at $7,900.
Well, hang on. I didn't. You have to realize murder auction works a lot like eBay. I'm not in control of that auction. That belongs to another individual. And I mean, while I can't be sure who is profiting from that, but I can tell you this much. John Wayne Gacy isn't going to make a dime. Most of these guys have absolutely no idea their items are even being hawked. In fact, in the little world of collectors, there's a sort of code of silence because most collectors will write as a person that they are not. Men generally take on female personas to obtain the trust of people who, like you said, have been denied basic compassion, humanity. And sometimes, this went on, starting at, a very young age, like being sexually assaulted by their parents, witnessing violence, as they grew up, and then ultimately ending up in prison for a violent crime. They have no idea that their items are being hawked.
Well, you're absolutely right. But can you understand, I'm looking at the case of Alina Semender. She was one of the victims of Carl Eugene Watts. He killed 11. Her mom had just gotten over that maybe years later, setting the table for her daughter every night, forgetting she was not there, when a letter surfaced that he had written from jail and it was being auctioned off. For her, it was tumbling back all over again.
I mean, I'm sorry for her loss, but I mean, I don't really know how to respond.
Do you worry about who these people are that are using your website?
I worry more about, the death threats. It could be from, you know, a 15-year-old kid with nothing better to do. It could be coming from somebody who legitimately wants to see my family members harmed so I can understand their pain.
Well, I'm sorry you're getting death threats, but we still have to ask, if you ever came across someone on your site that you thought had too much of an interest in a serial killer, would you contact authorities?
Too much of an interest? There's more books about serial killers than American presidents. I mean, look at popular television, you know, fictitious shows like Dexter and CSI. I mean, we're talking primetime television. You have tons of documentary films about different serial killers, historical serial killers, modern serial killers. And again, these are all people that are celebrated in the press. And if I question something, I mean, I always remind people, I go, this isn't a democracy. I go, I have a, you know, integrity to protect and a membership base to protect. So yeah, if I think something's questionable, you got to go.
That's William Harder. Again, his website is murderauction.com. William, thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you again for having me.
Well, let's bring in Andy Kahn, a longtime victims advocate for the city of Houston. He now works with Crime Stoppers in Houston. And as we said, he came up with the phrase murderabilia. Andy, you know William Harder, who's visited 90 convicted killers, and he asks, don't they deserve the humanity that artwork gives them? You say what?
I can tell you the bottom line is, by allowing them to sell their goods, you continue to feed into their ego and make them feel relevant. Years ago, we had a serial killer in Houston, Angel Resendez Ramirez, better known as the Railway Killer. Mm-hmm. And once he got wind of how famous he was quoted, and I use his quote in my lectures, saying he will no longer sign anything for less than $50 because he's famous now. And sadly, he was correct.
Well, we just heard from William that many times these killers don't know their items are being sold, that they're getting duped by people who write them and say that they want something that's signed. And
that's actually factually correct. Yeah. I want to say it's pretty much about 50-50. About half of the killers are aware that their stuff is being sold and they actually enter into some sort of contractual agreements. And quite frankly, the other half is clueless. Years ago, I sent out 20 letters to high-profile serial killers all across the country identifying myself, what I do, had items being sold with their names on it, and was asked them for their perspective on it. And actually, in the course of now going on 15 years, one of the most infamous, notorious serial killers has been corresponding with me and has been one of the greatest assets I've ever had to combat the murderabilia industry. And he was absolutely stunned to find out his stuff was being sold without his permission.
Can we know who he is?
Yes, none other than the son of Sam himself, David Berkowitz. It doesn't get any better when you have whom all the profiting laws are named after, also known as the Son of Sam laws, actually working on your behalf and with you to curb the industry of killers profiting from their notoriety.
But where are we on the law? Because, yes, there are the Son of Sam laws that forbid people who committed heinous crimes from profiting from them in any way, selling books, selling artwork. But we understand
that's
those
actually factually inaccurate.
Well, I was going to say,
and
it's been
like
overturned.
Many other, I was shocked to find out the Son of Sam laws were actually ruled unconstitutional.
That's right. Right.
In 1991, in a famous case, it actually involved a mafia informant by the name of Henry Hill, who most of your listeners will probably recognize as the lead character in the movie Goodfellas. Mm-hmm. The Son of Sam laws were ruled unconstitutional because they restricted free speech.
You know, as you said, we were shocked, too. We thought the Son of Sam laws meant that you couldn't profit from a crime.
Most people are under the delusion that you can't sell your rights for books and movies. But I can tell you, recent court cases have all voted in favor of convicted criminals.
Even if there may be separate state laws?
If it has the language dealing with free speech, which is why I started crafting legislation that I call notoriety for profit laws. In other words, talk all you want, scratch, sniff, paint, doodle, you just don't profit from it.
What about something else that William Harder just said to us? He says it's us, you know, meaning media, that's celebrating these people and leading people to want a piece of them.
You know, and there's some parts that William says I totally agree with. Absolutely. When you look at the entertainment industry in America, for the most part, it thrives on one word. That's murder. Mm. True crime is now in vogue or in genre, and victims are basically treated with what I call disinstitutionalized disinterest.
So obviously you're working on laws that skirt that question of freedom of speech. But in the meantime, what do victims' families tell you the impact of this is?
I can tell you from serving on the board of the Houston chapter of Parents of Murdered Children for about 25 years, it is the most nauseating and disgusting feeling in the world when you find out the person who murdered one of your loved ones now has items being hawked by third parties for pure profit. It's like being gutted all over again by our criminal justice system. No one should be able to rob, rape, and murder and then turn around and make a buck off of it. I'm a firm believer in free enterprise and capitalism, but I do think you have to draw the line somewhere, and where I and many others draw the line is the issue of profiting off of crime.
That's Andy Kahn, a longtime victims advocate, and he works now with Crime Stoppers in Houston, Texas. Andy, thank you.
My pleasure.